When Keith was in touch and asked me to come along here this morning, he said that it was going to be your anniversary service, that you were going to be thinking about God's goodness to you as a congregation in this past year, but also in those many years that have gone before. And he said that if you have something that you could bring to us that ties in with that, that would be good. Or if there's something on your heart that you want to bring, that's fine too. Well, I want to share something that is and has been on my heart for some time. So this is something that's been working on me in recent times. But I think it'll sit very well on an anniversary service when you're thinking of God's goodness. What I want to speak about this morning is gratitude. Gratitude. That's what's on my heart. Just before we dive in, I want to say a wee bit about the role of gratitude in Christian living. It doesn't sound like a big deal. I mean, you know, when you think of God's work in people's lives, you don't think of gratitude as one of the big things. You know, you might say to yourself, well, a mature Christian is somebody who knows their Bible really well, or they're brilliant prayers, or they lead ministries, or they go on missions. And that of course is true. That's what mature Christian people find themselves able to do. But in God's word, gratitude and thanksgiving is one of the big marks of a mature follower of Jesus Christ. Anyone who's truly growing in Jesus is incredibly grateful. Because you see, they're getting it. They know that all of life is a gift, and they're grateful for it. The Apostle Paul talks an awful lot about gratitude. 35 times I was able to find it in his letters, gratitude or thanksgiving. He often is talking, being grateful to God himself, so he's saying thank you to God, but often he's encouraging those who follow Jesus in the various communities that he's planted, that he is responsible for. He wants to see gratitude in their lives too. So for example, in Philippians 4, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. With thanksgiving. At that very moment, Paul says, when you're stressed, when you're crying out to God, when you're asking him for his help for today, remember all the ways in which he's already helped you in the past. Don't forget. Be grateful. One more verse from Paul, Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, he says, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Everything you do, you can do it all in Jesus' name. But remember to give thanks to God for his work in your life and through you. We could go on. As I say, there were 35 of those. That would make a long but maybe quite tedious sermon. My point, thanksgiving isn't trivial in the Christian life. It's somewhere near the very, very center. It's a mark that we are getting it. One famous theologian in the last century showed me, as I came across this week, how he simply said, since the essence of Christianity is God's grace, then the essence of discipleship is gratitude. Wow. If it's all a gift, then it's got to be all thank you, hasn't it? He gives the gift, we say thank you. That's what he does. This is what we do. Gratitude. It's the heartbeat of our lives. We've thought about those two short passages in Paul, but my text for today comes from the Psalm. If you have it open in front of you, that would be great. Psalm 116. We read some of the early verses, but the verse that I want to focus in on this morning, just one verse, verse 12. The psalmist asks, how can I repay God for all his goodness to me? I lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I love how Eugene Peterson puts it in the Message translation. He says, what can I give back to God for the blessings he's poured out on me? I lift high the cup of salvation, raise a toast to God. So there's a question I want us to think about for a few minutes this morning. What can we give back to God for all these blessings he's poured out on us? What blessings? You don't feel grateful, perhaps, today. You're thinking, yeah, there's other people here who might feel grateful. They might have cause to, but I don't. Not particularly, and not today. I thought the best way into this would be to take most of our time this morning thinking about the blessings that God has poured out on us. I want to think about God's blessings in three ways. God's blessings in creation, Jesus' blessings in salvation, and the Spirit's blessings in our lives. So, first of all, giving thanks to God for his work in creation, the world that he's put us in, our very selves in that world. The most common place that we used to express gratitude was, of course, saying grace at meals. Anybody here old enough to remember when we said grace at meals? Maybe you still do, and that's great. I have a confession to make. I never watched The Simpsons while it was on TV. It's something I've repented of. I'm starting to catch up with old episodes. So I recently saw, I think it's season one or two, the scene where the Simpsons have Homer's boss over for dinner, and Homer turns to Bart and he says, son, why don't you say grace? And Bart says grace. They all bow their heads, close their eyes. Bart says, dear God, the food's all on the table. We pay for all this stuff ourselves, so thanks for nothing. Now, that's the kind of thing when we watch it, Christians like us, good Christian people like us, are outraged, and we think it's almost offensive, that kind of humor poking fun at God and at grace. It's not. It's poking fun at me. Every time I receive a gift from him and imagine somehow that it's not a gift, that I've paid for it, that I'm entitled to it. That's what that scene in The Simpsons is getting at. Folks, gratitude, I'm going to say, the part of Belfast where I minister is pretty middle class. And gratitude seems to be a particular problem for middle class people. Those who've worked hard at school and got good grades, because here's what happens. We say to ourselves, I've worked hard at school, I've got good grades, I've earned my way to where I am, so everything I have, I'm entitled to. I've earned it. And we forget that it's all a gift. Every last bit of it. You see, I'm no more deserving than the kid with less intelligence who didn't pass their 11 plus or their AQE and who didn't have the... You're no better than the girl who didn't have a supportive family, who didn't make the most of her opportunities to go to grammar school, university, and professional working life. It's all a gift. Every last bit of it. So let's start to say thank you, will we? But it's not just the things God gives us, it's our very lives themselves that are a gift. That next heartbeat, that one, that's a gift. And that next breath, all given. If you've ever lost somebody suddenly in your life, you'll know that we shouldn't take this stuff for granted. Today's a gift. And then there's the beauty all around us. You guys live in Bangor. I'm up in the jungle there, the concrete jungle. nothing green around me. It's all tarmac. Sometimes I can see the sky between the buildings. You've got, you know, the beaches, the green all around us. Isn't it beautiful? American Pulitzer Prize winner Annie Dillard, she talks about how this beauty that God's put in the world is just an incredible thing. She says, there seems to be such a thing as beauty, a grace wholly gratuitous. It's a bit wordy. What does she mean by that? Have you ever noticed how the world's far more beautiful than it needs to be? Think about it. So if you or I made the world, what would it look like? Be made of steel or concrete or plastic? The dominant color would be gray. But that's not how God makes the world. He's made it so beautiful. And Annie Dillard then, she goes on, she invites us to get outside, go and enjoy God's blessings in creation. She says the beauty and the grace are performed whether or not we will or sense them. The least we can do is try to be there. Get out there. Breathe that fresh air. There are billions of people who live in this world who can't breathe fresh air. Go and enjoy it and say thank you. It's a gift from a loving God. And so we say, what can I give back to God for all the blessings he's poured out on me? Folks, I'm pretty sure that even if we just limited it to that, saying thank you to God for his goodness in creation would never be done. Take the rest of our lives to be thinking of and thanking. But we haven't even started. Let's talk for a few moments about saying thank you to God for Jesus and his work in salvation. Tell me this, do you ever take a moment or find yourself thanking the Lord that he saved you? Do you? The songs are good, aren't they? The songs help us. It's one of the great things about corporate worship. There'll be stuff up here on the screen. The musicians will invite you, and you'll get a chance to say thank you to the Father for giving us your Son. Singing those songs. Folks, one of the dangers for those of us who have known Jesus for years and for decades is that we lose our sense of joy in our salvation. There's a great line in Pilgrim's Progress. There's a second volume. I don't know if you know Pilgrim's Progress. The first volume, the part that people mostly know, tells of Christians' journey to the celestial city. But the second volume tells of his wife, Christiana, making the same journey later after him. And she meets a woman on the way, a woman called Mercy. And the line that Bunyan leaves in there is just beautiful. He says that Christiana helped Mercy to fall in love with her own salvation. Isn't that brilliant? To love it. To smile when you think of it. Are you in love with your salvation? Does it ever make you smile? When did you last experience tears at the joy of your redemption? Do you ever thank God for the person who brought you to Jesus? Maybe it's one of the dangers of Christian living and Christian ministry that we become so focused on sharing the gospel with other people. So the gospel becomes something for them. And it has to be. You know, let's not forget that. This Christmas time, we are going to try and share Jesus with new people. It has to be. But in our efforts to share the gospel with them, we forget to celebrate God's goodness in Jesus to us. I find Paul inspiring in this regard. So if anybody ever gave their life to sharing the gospel, the redeeming work of Jesus with other people, Paul did. But he never forgot what Jesus had done for him, and he never forgot to celebrate it. One of my favorite Pauline passages, the great apostle does something that he doesn't do very often, and that is he goes first person. He talks about himself. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Folks, I might preach for a while yet, if the Lord allows me. I might share with people all sorts of stuff that Jesus has done for them. But he's done it for me first. I need to minister out of that. He loved me. Gave himself for me. Do you know what it is to be grateful for your salvation? It's a wonderful thing, actually, to encounter people in our churches, in Christian fellowship, anywhere, where you can see this. It's a lovely thing to see somebody praising God for what he's done in their lives. I wonder, is that what makes Stormzy's song, Blinded by Your Grace, so powerful in British culture these last 3 years? The song was released a few years ago, you maybe know it. Last June time, it got a second sort of wave of popularity because this black grime artist was headlining at Glastonbury. And the biggest moment in the whole of Glastonbury is when this guy sings a worship song. The whole of the UK is glued. What is it he sings? I'm blinded by your grace. I'm blinded by your grace, your grace. Lord, I've been broken. And although I'm not worthy, you fixed me. I'm blinded by your grace. You came and saved me. Have you found a way in your life to make sure you're singing salvation songs? Here's a good place. Keep coming. Even when you don't feel like it, sing the songs. Your heart will tune back in. Let's thank Jesus for his salvation. What can I give back to God for all these blessings he's poured out on me? So we've thanked God for his blessings in creation. We've thanked Jesus for his blessings in salvation. Finally, we're grateful to the Spirit for his ongoing work in our lives. You'll know that when Jesus returned to his Father in heaven, he promised his followers, his disciples, I'll give you a comforter, a counselor, someone who'll stay with you and continue my work among you, my Holy Spirit. So the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to build me up, to build you up, and to build us up together into a wonderful church for Jesus. Let's be grateful for the work the Spirit's doing today in this church. I wonder, are you grateful to God that you live in Bangor? Are you? I'm just checking what kind of a response I'm getting there. I remember the moment when I realized what a privilege it is to come from Bangor, County Down, Northern Ireland, a place with at least 1,500 years of Christian witness. So I was I went to train to be a minister in a place called Regent College in Vancouver, and I'm pretty sure it was in my first term. I was doing some quite foundational courses in my theological training, so I was doing a thing called History of Christianity Part 1. So 12 classes, 3 hours each. They're going to do the history of Christianity from the apostles to the Reformation in 12 goes, right? So it's a bit match of the day. It's only the very best highlights. You're expecting only to hear about the largest moments, the most influential people and places in Christendom. Lecture 2, the professor starts talking about Bangor, County Down, Northern Ireland. starts talking about the monastic community that was here and the missionaries that were sent out from here all over Europe. And I couldn't help myself. I just stuck my elbow into the ribs of the Canadian guy beside me, and he said, that's where I'm from. Bangor, County Down, Northern Ireland. 1,500 years we've had the gospel. Are you grateful? I think we should be. There are places in the world where to know Jesus costs you your life. There are places in the world where people haven't heard of him. 1,500 years. Praise God. Or 1,500 years is a long time. Hard to get your head around. What about 111 years here? That's what we're remembering today. It's brilliant. I came here as a teenager, so the church was different then. The pulpit was up there, is that right? Up there, somewhere. Yeah. I grew up, my family were at Hamilton Road Presbyterian across the road, but as sometimes is the case, I felt more comfortable in the youth group here. So from I was, 12 till I was around about 20, I was in and around Hamilton Road Baptist all those years ago. People here taught me in YF on a Saturday night, not in this building. I don't think it was even the stuff next door. It was 114. Do people remember that? It was a house, 114 Hamilton Road. Some people need to be really old to remember that. Sorry. I'm old enough. I was there. 114 Hamilton Road, opening the Bible, singing songs, praying together, being nurtured the Spirit, doing what he does, growing us all as followers of Jesus. I'm grateful. Folks, it's possible on occasion to take quality Bible teaching for granted. I grew up across the road. David Searle, I've had three Davids were my ministers over there. David Burke, David Searle, David Johnston. I remember as a kid over there and being with you guys here that I thought churches were all like this, like there or here. I thought that the Bible was preached faithfully in every church. I thought that hundreds of people gathered to encourage each other to worship and sing. I don't know if you still think that, but let me tell you, it's not true. Where I am in Belfast, we have huge Presbyterian churches with tiny gray-headed communities. They're going to be closing down. Don't let's take for granted what we have here. This anniversary Sunday is a good Sunday to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the 111 years. Thank you for this past year. Thank you, Lord, for what your Spirit is doing here just now. By the way, you don't have to love everything that's happening in church these days. I don't love everything that's happening in my church. But I love that it's there. And I love that the Spirit is at work. So pray for Johnny and Keith, others who lead here, particularly with that work of bringing the life-changing Word of God to you. Don't take it for granted. Be grateful for it. Folks, I wouldn't want you to think that our gratitude in our church life should be limited, though, to pastors or people in paid or leadership roles. It goes much, much deeper and wider than that. I'm grateful. You know, I've tried to learn this. I've tried to look back and cultivate this a little bit in my life. I'm grateful to every person in a congregation who just invited me in. I got a really good welcome here. I should tell you this. I was a teenager. I didn't come here with my parents. I came here on my own. But I got a really good welcome. Not just from the youth leaders, but people on a Sunday would see a 14-year-old or a 16-year-old fella, and that, you know, they'd do what they could to make you feel at home and a part of it. I'm grateful for that. Maybe you have people in your life now as I'm talking, and you're thinking, flip, God's been good to me. He's given me brothers and sisters mums and dads, grandparents in Jesus. It's communities like this that the Holy Spirit uses to grow us. Let's be grateful. Okay, I've said it a few times. Maybe you're ready to join in and say it with me this time. The words are on the screen here. Let's say this together. What can I give back to God for the blessings he's poured out on me? I'll lift high the cup of salvation, a toast to God. Folks, have a few more minutes left, and I want to try and wrap things up. Take one last look at our verse. Poses a question, one that we haven't even answered. Don't panic. We're not going to try to give a long answer to it. What can I give back to God for the blessings? And then we've thought about what the blessings are. The blessings in creation, in salvation, and in our lives. What can we give back to God? Where could we possibly begin? Well, I haven't taken much time to answer that question because the answer is kind of obvious, isn't it? Nothing. There's nothing I could do to thank him, to start to square the circle or pay him back. Come on. Nothing. Wouldn't even start. I simply can't repay him. So here's what I will do. I'll spend the rest of my days, however many they are, just celebrating him. Just enjoying him, raving about him to anybody who'll listen, and saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. If grace is the essence of Christian living, Christian life, then gratitude must be the essence of discipleship. Folks, wouldn't it be great if sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to us in moments like this? He puts something inside us and we think to ourselves, flip that, that might be important. I wonder, could I keep that? I wonder, could I carry that with me? I wonder, could that really change my life? Could I become a grateful or a more grateful person? Here's something that might help you to remember this long after I'm gone and you've forgotten this sermon. I've come all the way here this morning from Belfast. But you guys know Belfast. You either work there or you go there for your shopping or for entertainment. So let me show you something about Belfast that you maybe didn't know. The city of Belfast coat of arms, there it is. How's your Latin? Mine's not great. So I had to look this up. Actually, I don't know how, I can't remember when I first noticed this, but it's quite something. Pro tanta quid retribuamus. What shall we give back in return for so much? Where do you think that comes from? This is the motto of the city, the capital city of our country. Psalm 116. There was a moment somewhere where the founding fathers of Belfast, when they were trying to say, who are we? What most characterizes us? What kind of people are we or want to be? They said, we're people who are grateful to God. What kind of a history do you think Belfast might have had if we had kept this a little closer to heart over the years? Protestants and Catholics both, and all sorts. What if rather than running after the things that we want out of life and that we're entitled to and that we should have, we were people who said, Lord, you've given it all. I just want to live a grateful life. Isn't that something? Belfast's motto. I've tried to make it mine. I'm inviting you this morning. Maybe it's time to make it yours. What can I give back to God for the blessings he's poured out on me? I'll lift high the cup of salvation, a toast to God. Let me pray. Lord, today is probably going to be like most other days. I'll probably have a head and a heart full of things that aren't quite right, and things that I wish I had that I didn't have, and things that I feel entitled to but simply aren't mine. And so, Lord, I thank you for this wonderful part of your word. Thank you for this invitation to count our blessings, to name them one by one, to be amazed again at what you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have done, and to tune our hearts to gratitude. Lord, would you work in us? Open our eyes, break our hard hearts. Show us the beauty of the gospel, of your spirit, of this world, and make us grateful. Grateful to you.